Go to 1 Corinthians 15 this morning, chapter 15, book of 1 Corinthians, the great resurrection chapter. We're going to take a text there this morning, and we'll spend our time in this chapter today, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to stand in just a moment and read verses 51 through 55. 51 through 55, and we'll enjoy this passage of Scripture this morning, I trust, as we look at it for just a little bit. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's book. Begin reading with me, if you would, at verse 51, and join me out loud on the even verses 52 and 54, and that'll be it. I'll read the odd verses, okay? 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Let's pray together. And dear Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We're thankful for the truth that it teaches us. Lord, what a joy to know that we're on the winning side. And not, Lord, just because we're saved and have our sins forgiven, Lord, but because we're going to be in heaven someday with you and our bodies are going to be there, glorious, glorified, and new. And it's a wonderful promise and a great hope. And we rejoice in it today. And ask now that you would take our minds and hearts and draw them close to your word. May your spirit have an opportunity to do a work in us that only he can do. We'll be glad for it and thankful for it and anticipate it because we ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you, B.C. So that good song, always appropriate, and especially this season. And I hope you've had some time to be thankful for God's good blessings the last several days. If you got to be together with family and friends, that's a blessing right there, isn't it? And all the abundance of food that we enjoy at this time. Somebody said verse 51 should be placed over every church nursery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen? And I don't know if that's true or not. But my text this morning begins there, and then I want you to see verse number 57. We didn't read this as part of our text, but I want you to see it now. Where Paul wrote, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The victory, he said. He's talking about there about a very specific victory. The victory he's been writing about in chapter 15. And I want to speak to you on the subject of the victory this morning. Dear Father, thank you for the victory made possible by your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you'd open our hearts to your Word this morning. Lord, I don't know the needs of every person in this room, but I know one thing, we're all needy. And the person that doesn't have a need has the greatest need. Because, Lord, if we have a need, you can meet it. We come to you this morning, God, with that need, saying, Lord, please help us. Give me, I pray, the presence of mind, the power of God, the clarity of speech to deliver this message. For Lord, truly, it's not a sermon. It's a message. I have every intention of being a blessing, wanting to help people and encourage the hearts of your folk this morning. May this church be edified, strengthened today because we've had some time in your book. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know anyone who likes to lose. I mean, at a football game or in tiddlywinks. I don't like to lose. If there's a way to be competitive, I like to win. You never see fans of sports teams running around with two fingers in the air. You just don't see that. We're number two. You don't see that. Now, they may be number 28, but they're going to hold it up and say, we're number one if they win the game. That's how it happens. You don't hear people running around chanting, we're number two. We're number two. They don't do that. Or running around screaming, we lost. We lost. We lost. Just don't do that. Everybody likes victory. I remember when I played ball in high school and the cheerleaders would get the fans going, you know, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, V-I-C-T-O-R. I forget all the cheer now, but that was our part. And I think the ladies did it higher or something. But I never heard cheer, D-E-F-E-A-T. You know, I never heard that, you know. Nobody's excited about defeat. And cheers are made up using the word victory and not defeat. And Paul is writing here about victory and a specific victory. He is writing to the church at Corinth. And in this chapter, he deals with the great subject of the resurrection. And that's a victory, friend. That's a victory. Now, there were people in Corinth who denied that there would be a resurrection. They had begun to influence some of the Corinthian believers. So Paul, in this book, of course, in this letter that God breathed through the Apostle Paul, he addressed that. Look at what he said in verse number 33. Paul wrote him, he warned them. He said, be not deceived. Do you see it? Evil communications corrupt good manners. Do you see that? You say, well, I believe that means you ought to be careful about who your friends are. That's part of it. That's a good application, but that's not the interpretation. You know what the interpretation is? That word communications means associations of people. The word manners means behavior or character. Now, you know what Paul was saying there? Paul was saying the people who did not believe in the resurrection were evil. They are evil. Evil groups of people who deny that there is a resurrection. And if you give ear to them, they will corrupt your spiritual character. And here's the reason. If there is no resurrection, if there's no accountability, if there's no judgment, hey, friend, let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and when we die, that's it. Huh? Sure. And Paul said, if you give yourself to that kind of influence for very long, it's going to affect your spiritual character. One of the things that will keep you on your toes if you're a child of God is that there's a judgment seat of Christ. I almost preached on that this morning. We'll all stand and give an account of ourselves. I'm not going to give an account of Brother Hansen. He's not going to give an account of me. I'm not going to give an account for you. And you're not going to give an account for me. We're going to stand there before Jesus Christ at the Bema. And all of our actions, behavior, words, thoughts, everything, from the time that we got saved until the day that we go to heaven, we'll be judged. We'll be judged according to our works for God. That keeps us on our toes. If you're not saved, the idea of a great white throne judgment should bring you down the aisle this morning to trust Christ as your Savior. I read about the great white throne this morning. The dead, small and great, will stand before God. There was no place for them to hide. None. You ever think about it? The trouble men go to hide their sin? Be no place to hide on that day. Now, if there's no judgment, if there's no Bema, if there's no great white throne, hey folks, live it up. Tomorrow we die and that's it. But that's a stinking lie. And that's what Paul wrote about. Paul wrote and said, if you get around that kind of teaching, it's going to corrupt your character. People who believe that people who believe in no resurrection live with no thought of the judgment. But there is a resurrection, and it is not a negative thing. It is a wonderful thing. It is a magnificent thing. Paul called the resurrection the victory. The victory. The victory. You see, I'm thankful for a lot of blessings this season, but my mind has been on this blessing. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that He gives us the victory of the resurrection. Paul's mind is on the victory. He uses the word three times in just a few short verses here, beginning in verse number 54 and following. He uses that word, victory, victory, victory. He talks about it. His mind is on it, on the victory. Now, look, we sing the song, I'm on the winning side. I like that song. I like it not only because it's inspirational, I like it because it's based on Bible truth. If you're a born-again, blood-washed child of God, you're on the winning side. Make no mistake about it, you're on the winning side. Not only your soul and spirit, but your body is on the winning side as well. You're going to have the resurrection. The resurrection is a great victory. Let me give you two or three thoughts this morning. Out of this chapter, number one, the last enemy we encounter is death. The last enemy we encounter is death. Look at verse number 26. Verse number 26, same chapter. Look what the Bible says here. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Do you see that? Verse 26. Now folks, look. We face a lot of enemies along the road as we seek to serve Jesus Christ. A lot of enemies. I face an enemy every day that lives in my body. It's called my old nature. Every day I fight that enemy. The old nature doesn't want to obey God. The old nature doesn't want to live for the Lord. The old nature doesn't want to be generous. The old nature doesn't want to live for others. The old nature fights against everything that's good and right. The old nature is my enemy. And if you've been saved for any length of time, it's your enemy as well. You know that. Paul talked about the old nature in Romans chapter 7, verse 15 and following. And buddy, Paul was frustrated. He said, the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I find myself doing. What is that? That's the old nature. Sit up, young person. Sit up over there. It's not bedtime. It's church time. Sit up over there. All the way up. Sit up. Sit up. It's not bedtime. It's church time. Old nature. The old nature is the enemy. The old nature fights against everything that I want to do right and good for God. It pulls against me like gravity pulling us toward the earth. The old nature seeks to pull us down, make us dirt dwellers like I preached about last Sunday morning. Instead of flying like a butterfly after that change there, we talked about that metamorphosis. That old nature, I fight against it every day. I war against Satan's influences every day. So do you. We war against principalities and powers, things that are spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world, overseen by the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself. We war. You may not realize it, but you war against that every day. Every day. I war against temptation, the temptations of this world. This world flashes its temptations at us. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. The world tries to reel us in little by little, bit by bit, tries to get us away from the things of God, living for ourselves, living for the world. That's what the world does to us. We fight those battles on a daily basis. There's three enemies right there. The old nature, Satan's influences, and the temptations of the world. We fight against those on a daily basis. Now, thank God, He gives us the victory over all those enemies. I can live victoriously over my old nature by walking in the Spirit. I got the Spirit of God living in my body. If I walk in His way, if I let Him control my thoughts, let Him control my emotions, let Him control my decisions, let Him control my motives, I can walk in the Spirit and I can please God and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Every Christian can do that. Every Christian. I can live victoriously over temptation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I don't have to say yes to worldly temptation. I can say no. I don't have to give in to the satanic influences in my life. I can put on the whole armor of God and withstand against the evil one, and having done all, to stand. Now, all through life as a Christian, we are fighting these enemies, fighting the old nature, fighting satanic influences, fighting worldly temptations, and then we come down to the end. And when we come down to the end, there's the biggest enemy of all staring us in the face. Death. There it is. That last enemy, the Bible says, is death. Death is an enemy. We all will face it unless we are alive at the moment of the rapture. That's what Paul meant when he said we shall not all sleep. He's talking about death. Some will be changed. They'll be living when Jesus comes in the sky, raptured up to be with the Lord forever, and they will not face that enemy known as death. But for those who don't go in the rapture, we're going to face that enemy. The last enemy is death. Hey, folks, look at me. Death is an enemy when it comes suddenly. Yeah. And I've heard people say, you know, well, at least their loved one died very suddenly and didn't have to suffer pain and illness and go through all that for a long, extended period of time. Oh, Mr. Good night, friend. Look, if death comes suddenly, it has its own set of horrible things. Amen. You know that's true. You know that's true. When death comes suddenly, boy, it leaves behind sorrow and heartache and shock, and you're not prepared to lose that person in your family. You're not prepared. Man alive, it's sudden. It's awful. I think about this family Dawn asked prayer for, this Bennett family up in Michigan. And the lady's riding with three teenagers and had the accident, and two of them are her own, two of them her own teenagers, and the third, all three of those children killed. Suddenly. That's an enemy. Are you listening this morning? That's an enemy. And it leaves you heartbroken and shedding tears and grieving and heartache and pain and the suddenness of it. Death is an enemy when it comes after a long illness. The suffering and the pain, and even though you may be expecting it, the finality of death, the separation involved, is what makes it an enemy. Death is an enemy because it knows no age barriers. I was thinking this week, I have preached more than one funerals for babies who never saw the light of day. They died in the womb of the mother and were stillborn. I've also preached funerals of folks who were in their 90s, upper 90s, and everywhere in between. Death is an enemy because it knows no age barriers. Death is an enemy because of other reasons. I was thinking about another reason here. I lost my train of thought. Here's what I'm saying. No matter how you break it down, death is an enemy. Death is an enemy if it comes suddenly. Death is an enemy if it comes after a long extended illness. Death is an enemy because it comes to any age. The Bible says that death is our last enemy. And unless we go up in the rapture, everybody in this room is going to face it. We know it. We're going to face it. Are you listening this morning? Amen. It's all right, folks. We can preach about death because we know the truth about it. Amen. Relax. It's okay. Yeah. We've had to bury folks who had just recently loved ones who passed away. Members of families and loved ones have passed away. And we probably will real soon again as a church family. And that's not fun. Death is an enemy. The last enemy we'll face. But let me say number two this morning. Listen very carefully. Here's the good part. Salvation takes the sting out of death. Takes the sting out of death. Look at verse number 55. Look in this passage here. Verse number 55. Paul taunted death almost. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin. Now look, friend, death has a sting to it. It has power to hurt, to wound, and to pierce. You ever been stung by a bee? Now, I'm probably going to get zapped by making this statement. I don't think I've been stung by a bee since I moved up north. But every summer down south, I got stung. Multiple times. Hornets, those black bumblebees, wasps, little honeybees. We go barefoot through the clover and step on those things. I mean, time and time again. And there was that one time when Steve Jordan and I decided we were going to rock the hornets' nests. And we got it good that time. When you get stung, that poison is what makes it hurt. That little needle-like stinger goes in there and that deposit of poison. Now, death has a sting to it. Watch it. The Bible says the sting of death is sin. Now, look at me. You say, oh, my goodness, and that means we're all going to suffer because we're all sinners. Now, listen very carefully. Unpardoned sin gives death its sting. Unpardoned sin gives death its sting. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? If a person dies unsaved, then death has a sting to it. It has a hurt, a power, a wound, an unmerciful hurt. If a person dies unsaved, death has a horrible sting. Think of the sting of dying. What you got? What, need something, Brother Jack? I'm sorry? Miss Ferry, okay, I need it there. Listen very carefully. That's all right. Then we got to take care of things. But I don't want to lose your track right here because I don't want somebody to die in this room and experience the sting of death. Now, listen very carefully. Think about the sting of dying without salvation. How about the torments of hell? Enough said? I don't need to go into them this morning, folks. Burning forever and ever and ever in a pit of darkness, blackness, tormented with the fires of hell. But how about this one? How about eternal separation? You see, I've done so many funerals, I've lost track. I've done more funerals than I have weddings. I don't know how long it was here before I did my first wedding, but in the first couple months I was here, I was preaching funerals. I can't tell you how many. There is a difference in the funeral service when the person who has passed away died saved and when the person who passed away died unsaved. There is no, if a person dies unsaved, there is no hope of ever seeing that person again. And funerals in families where there is no gospel influence, where there is no salvation, where there's no Bible preaching and teaching, where there's been no born-again experience, it's a horrible thing. I have seen unbelievable things take place in funeral homes where there's been a funeral of a person who died with unpardoned sin. It's horrible. I've seen them fall in the casket and just go crazy and vomit at the casket. I've never seen that happen at a safe funeral. Never seen that happen. There's a tremendous difference. Why? Because if you die unsaved, there's no promise that your loved ones or you will ever see each other again. That's a sting. Yeah. How about this sting? No glorified body. Hey, folks, look. A glorified body is part of the salvation experience. Oh, no, listen, you missed it. People who die with cancer unsaved are resurrected with cancer. There's no glorified body for an unsaved person. Glorified body is a part of salvation. Justification, sanctification, glorification. All a part of salvation. Justification happened the moment you took Christ as your Savior. Justified, just as if you'd never sinned. Sanctification is what should be going on in our life right now. Becoming more and more like Christ. Less and less like the world. Glorification is what takes place when the body is raised from the grave someday for saved people. But unsaved people come out of the grave with the same body they went in. Pain, disease, sickness, weak, and they spend eternity in that kind of body. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says the sting of death is sin. The sting of death is sin. But hey, wait a minute. For the person who is saved, for the person who has trusted in Jesus Christ, you may face death. I may face death, and it's still an enemy. But the sting has been removed because the thing that gives death its sting is sin. And if you're saved, your sins have been forgiven and forgotten. I thought you just said we stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah, but you won't give an account for your sin. You'll give an account for your works. Your sins were judged on the cross of Calvary. And you won't have to face death. The sting of death is sin. Your sin's been paid for. Hey, look, you don't face hell. You await heaven. In all of its glory. You won't be separated from what? Loved ones forever. You'll see them again. That's a promise. That's a promise. That's a promise. That's a promise. At the rapture, you'll be reunited with all your loved ones. You'll see each other again. Ray Hart used to sing a beautiful old song, beautiful song. I forget who wrote it. Ray Hart used to sing it. I'll see you again. I'll see you again. I'll see you in glory someday. You know where the person who wrote the song got the idea for it? Hearing John R. Rice tell about burying his mother. John Rice's mama died when he was 6 years old. And he was telling about his mama's passing in that little old room at the house where they used to go to die in those days. No hospital death, friend. And the pump organ in there. And she said, call the family around. And all the family gathered in that little room and somebody said, let's sing. And somebody said, what are we going to sing? And somebody said, let's sing How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. And the pump organ, they played How Firm a Foundation. The family began to sing, How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. And the lady dropped off, Mrs. Rice dropped off into a coma. And after a while, raised her little hand, said, I see Jesus and I see my baby. Gave her, and breathed her last breath and was gone. Then John Rice told about going to the cemetery. He said, a six-year-old boy, he said, my daddy put his arm around me and my brother, and we stood at the opening of a hole there. And back in those days, they used to watch the old boys cover the casket with dirt. He said, it was a cold, rainy, gray day, kind of like outside today. He said, I remember a kindly black woman with an umbrella who stood beside my daddy and us and held the umbrella over our heads as we watched the dirt going on that casket. And John Rice said, as I stood, six-year-old boy, I stood there, I thought to myself, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. That man took that story and wrote those words, I'll see you again. Hey, that takes the sting out of death. Oh, listen, it'll be hard down here saying goodbye to somebody you love. There'll be a separation, but it won't be forever. It'll be a short time. You'll see him again. That takes the sting out of it. You don't have to face hell. Hey, you know what else takes the sting out of it? You got a glorified body. That means if you die with cancer, you're raised without it. That means if you die with MS, you're raised without it. How could heaven be heaven with MS all through eternity? Mickey Camp, all bent over with cerebral palsy. When he dies with cerebral palsy, he'll be resurrected with it. Be no walkers in heaven. Be no feet taking little stumbling steps, all bent, body twisted. No, sir. Be no pharmacy. Be no prescription medicine. None. That takes the sting out of death. You see, salvation is what takes the sting out of death. Salvation, when you come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior, you're justified. And God helps you get sanctified. But hallelujah, one of these days you're going to be glorified. You don't face hell. You won't face separation from forever. And you'll have a glorified physical body to live in throughout all eternity. Amen. Sure. That takes the sting out of it, doesn't it? But if you die unsaved, there's a lot of sting. Are you with me this morning, church? Sure. Now let me say this, number three, listen very carefully. What time? Okay, good, I got some time. Resurrection takes the victory away from the grave. Resurrection does. Look at what he said in verse number 55. Look at it again. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? You see, if you do leave this world by way of death, listen very carefully, your body won't be buried. Your body will be planted. Planted? Well, what does the word sow mean? I don't mean with a needle and thread, ladies. S-O-W, what does it mean, folks? Y'all don't know what sowing means? Plant. We are together in this thing. I'm not up here giving you a lecture, okay? This is not Bible college. This is preaching time. Amen. We can talk to each other. This is not a formalist. In the bulletin it says you can talk back. Amen. All right. Look at verse number 36. Look at what he says here. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened. Look at verse number 37. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. Look at verse number 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. Look at verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. It is sown in weakness. Look at 44. It is sown. What is that? When you sow something, what do? You plant. And when you plant something, you plant with the idea that what? It's coming up! You don't bury your seeds. I'm going to go out there and bury these okra seeds. Well, boy, that's dumb. I can think of a lot of things better to do than go out to a piece of earth and just dig a trench and just drop seeds and cover them up. You don't bury the okra seeds. Some of you don't. Bury them anyway. You don't plant them or bury them, do you? Let's pick cucumber seed. There we go. You make pickles? You don't bury those. You plant them. And then what do? You go out to the garden about 5 or 6 days later, and what do you look? Then you go back in and tell your wife they're not up yet. Then you go out there one day and sticking up out of that sod, out of that ground, that little green shoot. It's up. And when you take the body of a loved one to a cemetery, you don't bury that body, you plant it. And you could run out there about every 6 or 7 days. Not up yet. But one of these mornings, that trump is going to sound. And the voice of the archangel come up hither. And you're going to come up. Up. The body is going to come up. That which is planted is coming up. The resurrection gives victory over the grave. The grave cannot hold the body of a saved person. What power does it have? If it could hold the body of a saved person, it'd have power over it. But no. The grave has no power. Oh, grave, where's your victory? You got it. Paul's taunting death. You see, For a Christian to face death, it's an enemy, but it's a completely different matter than facing it as a lost person. Where is your victory? We're planting this body. It's coming up. If you've been saved, you're planting the body because the promise is that body, glorified and perfect, wonderful, is coming out. The grave cannot, will not have the power to hold the body. Listen very carefully. I'm done this morning. All this victory is made possible because of Jesus Christ. You see, He took the sting out of death. Remember, the sting of death is what? Unpardoned sin. He took the sting out of death by paying the sin debt on Calvary. Look at me. The cross was a war. All the forces of hell and evil against God, His will, His plan, His Son, Jesus Christ. There was a war on that cross. Why do you think they taunted Him? Hey, you said you were Christ? If you are, come down from the cross. Savior, let me ask you a question. What if He'd have done that? Let me ask you a question. Could He have done that? Sure He could have. What if He had? He lost. He lost the war. Oh, come down there, you know. You saved others. Oh, you raised Lazarus from the dead. You got other people out of a jam. How about getting yourself out of this jam? Taunting. I mean, the insults of hell. Jesus stayed on that cross. And He waged that war until He said, "It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished." The what? Sure. The victory's been won. Because on the cross, Jesus paid the debt for man's sin. It's finished. Man's sin debt has been paid in full. There will never have to be another sacrifice for sin. And anybody who comes to Jesus will have their sin forgiven. Anybody. Battle is over. The victory's won. Jesus went to the grave. There was no battle in that grave. Folks, there was no struggle in that grave. There was no angelic realm with swords and spears engaging in conflict trying to get the body of Jesus back to life. I should act it out, but that makes my kids nervous when I act this out. Amen. After 3 days and three nights, He just opened His eyes. Calmly stood up. Calmly folded the cloth. Calmly folded the napkin. There's no war. He's already won the war. Now He's just going to show us that the grave can't hold us either. There was no struggle. There was no fight. How are you going to fight against Christ? He walked out of that grave victorious. And by doing so, He became the first fruits of all who sleep. That means because He walked out of that grave, the body of the loved one that you planted some years ago or some days ago, that body, coming out because He came out. I was telling, where was I? Decatur, Illinois, just a couple Saturdays ago, I was telling a story about Larry and Esther's wedding. I like to tell that story. We was all bawling. Remember then? Man. Her mother died in 03. His mother died in 04. Both places where moms should have been sitting were empty. And when they lit that unity candle back here, they reached down and picked up a white rose, and they went down these steps together, and they went over to that pew and laid a white rose where her mother would have been sitting, and laid a white rose where his mother would have been sitting. And they came back up here. Those tears were coming down his cheeks. And she reached up and wiped those tears away. Whew. I'll never forget that as long as I live. Because Jesus walked out of that grave, their mamas are coming out someday. Coming out. You see, when you stare that old enemy in the face, it's completely different if you're a child of God. It's completely different. Because salvation took the sting out of death, and the resurrection takes the sting out of the grave. Jesus made it all possible. Here's the thing. You don't want to die unsaved. Are you listening this morning? You see, that's the only time. See, Wednesday morning, Angela, out at the cemetery. Your uncle served in the Korean War. Jack Roselle. And we committed his body out at the Veterans Cemetery. 21-gun salute. Man, taps. Whew. Folding that flag. It brought tears to their eyes. It brought tears to my eyes. I mean, all the emotions of a military burial. Mercy. Thanks. Now, I think it's great for anybody that served in the military. But you know what? It was so easy to stand there and talk to that family because Jack had been saved. And even though it was emotional with the taps and the flag and everything, they're going to see him again. He was planted. And he's coming out. The worst thing in the world is to die unsaved. Then you got a sting of death. And then that grave becomes an old, cold hole. But if you die saved, what is burying ground, planting ground, will one day be resurrection ground. Amen? Now, I want to be a blessing, Brother Terry Davis. He can't be here this morning. I said, Pastor, you had a couple of sermons on death in the last 8 weeks. You don't understand why? I'm trying to help people. Amen. Brother Terry's going to fight that. He's going to face that last enemy. Now, you mark it down. He's there. He's there. And to pray for Valerie as well. Her mom came to help be a blessing. But I want him to hear this sermon, Valerie. I want you to get in this tape if you can. You don't have to pay for it. Okay? Because when you face that old last enemy as a child of God and Terry is saved, it's a clear different story than when you face that enemy lost. Amen? No doubt about it. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's talking or looking around. Everybody, please keep your seat just for a moment. Who's here this morning would say, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't doubt it at all. There's no doubt in my mind. Sting of sin has been removed. Death, the grave has no power over me because I'm born again, child of God, on my way to heaven. Would you raise your hand, please? Everybody that can say that this morning, say it in honesty. Thank you. Take your hand down. Somebody here would say, Brother Angel, Pastor Angel, I don't know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I don't want to die with unpardoned sin. I don't want to die lost. Face the sting of death in an old cold grave. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you put your hand up and we pray for you this morning? Put it up in the air. Put it right back there. Just give me a moment to see it. God bless you. I thank you for that. God bless you. I'm concerned about you. God bless you. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved this morning. Don't want to die with unpardoned sin in my life. My heart. Somebody else. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Pray for me, Brother Angel. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I want to face that old last enemy lost. And you may have to face it sooner than you think. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking. Let me ask this person that lifted a hand just now, look at me just for a minute if you would. If you lifted your hand, you don't know that you're saved. Would you look at me just for a moment? God bless you. I'm concerned about you. The greatest decision I ever made in life was to trust Christ as my Savior. And we can show you. I sat just like you did. And the preacher gave me an opportunity to know from the Bible how to be saved. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how to be saved. We have a lady right here. Nobody's looking right now. Why don't you just come? Yeah, that's right. God bless you. You're sitting right on the aisle. Just let her show you how to be saved this morning. And sir, if you'd come too, that'd be great, Brother Ray. That's right. God bless you both. Amen. Would you come this morning? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved right here, Brother Ray. God bless you. Maybe there's somebody else. Say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, friend, listen. Hey, facing that last enemy as a child of God just takes all the sting out of it. There's always going to be sorrow. There's always going to be tears. There's always going to be grief. That's natural. That's normal. But Paul said, we sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Thank God. Thank God for salvation. Takes the sting out of that death, that last enemy. Somebody else, Pastor, pray for me. If you're here this morning, you've been saved and not ever followed the Lord in believer's baptism. We're ready to baptize anybody that's old enough to be baptized or has permission from their mom and dad. If you're a teenager or a child, you've got to have permission. Maybe you came this morning to be baptized. Why don't you come right now? That's right. God bless you. Come right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have folks ready to help you and assist you in the baptistry. Somebody else. Pastor Angel, I didn't come prepared to get baptized, but pray for me. I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism since I've been saved. Somebody else like that? All right. Thank you. This is pretty much a salvation message. A Christian, you're on your way to heaven, saved and baptized. Not going to heaven because you're baptized, but you've been faithful to be obedient. What a joy to know that the sting of death has been removed. Are you thankful for that this morning? Maybe you could get the message and give it to somebody who's facing that old enemy right now. Maybe there's somebody in your family, relative, coworker, or friend, facing that last enemy and they're not saved. Maybe a message like this would be good for them to listen to. Start calling their name out in prayer. Asking God to bring them to conviction and save them. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. Resurrection victory. Our Father, we're grateful this morning for your blessings. Thankful this morning for the truth of your word that teaches us, oh God, about our great victory. Thank you for taking the sting out of death, Jesus. Thank you for taking the power from the grave. Thank you that when we face that last enemy, we can do so knowing we're on the winning side. What a joy. Bless folks this morning. Lord, I pray for Brother Terry. Right now, facing that old last enemy, Lord, really has a grip on his body. I pray that you'll bless him. But thank you, Lord, that he's got the victory. The victory. There might be others, friends, loved ones of folks in this room facing that last enemy. I pray that you'll encourage their hearts this morning. In Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar's open for anyone that needs to use it. You come, take advantage of it. If you're not sure that you're saved, we invite you to come this morning with the others and trust Christ. Become a child of God, born again, blood washed. Have the sting of death removed. The power of the grave lifted. Would you come? Would you come? While we wait, would you come? more verse for the invitation to come. Eyes are closed. You may just